Some Homeland Security employees are worried about their exposure to the Ebola virus, their potential exposure. Many of them work at the Transportation Security Administration and Customs and Border Protection. Some U.S. airports are screening passengers for Ebola. CBP employees will perform most of those checks. The American Federation of Government Employees wants agency management to put in the right precautions. Joining me now is AFGE President J. David Cox. J. David, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
So what are the concerns you are hearing from TSA and CBP employees?
Well, first off, AFG wants the safety of our members protected at all costs. I mean, going to work and having a safe work environment is very important to every one of us. And all the hazards and threats that could possibly be in facing TSOs, we need to be working on those. Some of the things that we have been asking TSA for is constant briefings, not just a one-time briefing. Let us know what is going on, proper equipment, proper training, the monitoring, making sure the employees understand the training to do all the things to protect themselves as they go about doing their routine work every day.
I mean, CBP in its general role has one set of dangers. TSOs have another one. And I guess let's talk about TSOs for a minute, because even before the threat of people coming through security lines or through the airports that might have this disease, they see all sorts of things when they screen luggage and so forth that most of the public probably can't even imagine.
Oh, very much. I mean, if you just think of a routine process of going through a checkpoint, a transportation security officer, they check your documents, they check your tickets. If there's something that they see in your bag, they may open up your luggage. One of the things that we forget is that also all of our luggage that goes underneath the plane is x-rayed, is frequently looked at and gone through. So these employees come in contact with passengers. They do pat downs. They actually physically touch passengers. So having the right protective equipment, the gloves, being allowed frequent breaks to wash their hands, use sanitizers, having the equipment to wash down, wipe down their work areas, things of that nature, to change gloves on a regular ongoing basis. All those are very, very important things for the protection of those officers.
So what extra or additional protections do you think might need to be in place for at least as long as the Ebola seems to be something we've got to deal with?
We've been looking for the CDC, for their guidelines, and for OSHA. One of the things that has concerned us is CDC and OSHA, it is guidelines. It is not mandatory that agencies or private sector companies follow these procedures. And clearly, those are the experts. That's what those folks do. We think that there really needs to be something coming from the administration that's a mandate, an executive order for agencies as well as private sector hospitals and corporations to follow CDC guidelines and OSHA regulations to prevent any type of a spread or infection of people as they go about doing their routine job.
Is there anything in the TSO national contract that gives you leverage to maybe make some of these procedures mandatory?
Well, clearly, we have provisions in our contract for health and safety, for the training of the employees, and for to do the things that's necessary. And I want to stress that I don't believe there is any cause or reason for a panic in this country. I think there is a cause for concern. If people use the universal precautions, wearing the gloves, doing the things that CDC has told us to do, the constant monitoring of the work environment. We need also something in the work environment where if somebody is breaking procedures, that's immediately brought to someone's attention and it's corrected. With hospitals, with check lines at the airport, everyone wants to get through there quickly, but we can't do that at the expense of somebody not doing the proper process to protect their health and safety as well as the health and safety of everyone else.
I mean, I guess as a practical matter, the influenza and other types of more common transmitted, more easily transmitted issues is probably a bigger factor than Ebola in reality.
I'm sure they are. They clearly, and I am a registered nurse, and I do understand about those type things. And I obviously, the flu season is upon us, as many other things. That's why it's so important that all of us as American citizens, that, you know, we try to do all the correct things, you know, covering our mouths when we cough. If you are sick, frequently I see people in airports wearing masks, and people will think, oh, it's to protect that person. Usually it's that person may have some type of cold or something, and they're trying to protect everyone else from themselves. So those are good things that the general public can do. But one of the real issues is this constant involvement with AFGE, so that we are certainly given the feedback to TSA administration as well as the entire administration, because Border Patrol agents are certainly subject to being exposed. The Department of Defense, we have many employees who work in military hospitals that can certainly are going to be dealing with many of the military that go to these areas and come back, as well as if we get more cases of this, we are certain some of them will eventually show up in the VA medical centers throughout the country, and all of these agencies need to be prepared to deal with the situations and understanding, just like recently, there are only certain hospitals that are properly equipped to deal with these situations, such as the National Institute of Health and some other places around the country.
We're speaking with J. David Cox, the national president of the American Federation of Government Employees. Now, turning to the Border Patrol agents, those are the ones that are doing these temperature checks at, I think, four or five airports?
Those are actually the custom
agents. I'm sorry, CBP, I should have said. Right, CBP.
The Border Patrol agents are actually the ones who are patrolling the borders on the southern and northern borders, that obviously where people come into the country illegal or are processed through the country legally. So they come in contact with many, many folks, and I've actually visited several of the centers along the southern border, and there may be four or five 100 people in one of these centers, and it concerned me as a registered nurse. Obviously, the exposure not just of Ebola, but tuberculosis, influenza, the various things. Obviously, when you get large groups of people, you're not sure what may be wrong with them. There's always the danger of exposure to disease.
And so, so that was Border Patrol, and then Customs and Border Protection are kind of like behind the TSOs.
Yes, they are.
In many situations.
They're doing the screening when people come in from certain countries, you know, checking temperatures and things of that nature. So, government employees are at the front line of all this this issue. And to be very honest with you, sometimes our folks talk about, oh, get government off your back and let's shrink government. But have a crisis as we are having right now, we want government. We want the Center for Disease Control. We want OSHA. We want all of these type things to be in effect to protect us as American people. We want the National Institute of Health to be there to treat these folks and to protect all of us. And we want the scientists that work for the government working very hard for a cure and for a research and for a treatment. And only the government is going to do all of those type things. Those things are just not usually done in the private sector.
And while we have you, I wanted to ask you about the locality pay. The Pay Council came out with its recommendations. Another new city added. They re-recommended a dozen or so cities that had been on the list. But it doesn't look like anything's going to happen because of the locality pay freeze. What's your take on what could happen?
Well, those regulations could be drafted immediately. It would not cost the government one more penny to institute those additional 12 plus now the 13th locality pay system. All they have to do is draft the regulations and implement them, because, number one, there is a gigantic pool of locality pay money that gets divided up to all of those localities. So as such, it's unfair to continue to make those 12, 13 groups wait this long when they've been in the queue, some of them for 5 or 6 years, because we had a pay freeze and then we haven't increased the locality pay. It would mean more pay for those folks immediately, and they deserve it. And we are begging and calling upon the administration to draft those regulations and implement this immediately, as we were promised they would do 3-4 years ago.
All right, and the final question, getting back to the TSA, somebody who could classify as an old nemesis, John Pistol, is going to retire. Your take on his tenure there?
Well, we certainly, AFGE, it extends our applause to Mr. Pistol. He did take the initiative and granted collective bargaining to transportation security officers. It was the right thing to do. We were disappointed that it was a very limited scope of bargaining, but we wish John well in his new job, and we have had a good working relationship with him. And like I say, we will miss him, and I certainly applaud him for doing the right thing and realizing that the public's best interest is served when through collective bargaining. And I believe that's one of the ways that we can increase the morale of federal employees by bargaining better contracts and having better work rules and conditions for federal employees, and that makes for a much happier and better workplace.
J. David Cox is the president of the American Federation of Government Employees. As always, great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me.